More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, all shook up. We'll help you deal with those situations that are shaking your nerves and rattling your brain. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled All Shook Up, as we help you deal with those situations that are shaking your nerves and rattling your brain. Although I just a little shook up myself just now, because as the music started playing, I just realized that I got my songs mixed up. I all shook up. But the shake your nerves and rattle your brain is Great Balls of Fire. So there you go.
Wow, that is so off target for you. My husband, you have to understand. My husband, he's got a brilliant brain. I will say that honestly. I often stand in absolute awe of his intellect. Right. But yeah, I do. I got to be honest. But there's also this like filing cabinet in his brain, like filing library, and everything kind of goes in and out according to song lyric. So we almost play a game in our family.
It's obnoxious. I will start randomly humming.
He'll just start humming. And after about 4 or 5 bars, the whole family starts to realize what he's humming. And it's so incongruous to anything that's going on, and we'll say, why that song? Why are you humming that song? And we'll all spend time tracing back to whatever words or thing or emotion or something triggered that song. And it's always something. We all have this big, aha, that's why we laugh so hard about it. So for you to make a mistake on linking lyrics.
I'm all shook up, let me tell you.
But whenever you planned this show, you were definitely in like a...
The 60s mode there.
Mode
yeah,
there?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened. But you know
all
what?
All before my time, but still.
Whether it's a 60s mode or a today in the middle of Lent mode, the actual
sentiment is the same.
Is very much the same. We all get kind of shook.
We do.
And that's actually a phrase now that like our 13-year-old and her friends will use all the time. I'm shook. I'm just, they'll hear something that went on in one of their lives or, you know, they'll hear about, you know, this one had a fight with that one, or that one did. I'm so shook.
So
but
are you,
know
you shook?
What? We get shook. We all get shook. Life can either just kind of shake us to the point where you can go, oh, well, I'm shook, or it can shake us to our core.
So if there are certain situations in your life or relationships that are causing you stress, worry, and anxiety, if you're feeling a little shook these days, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We will help you find both peace in the middle of the storm and ways forward through the problem that you're experiencing. That sounds like a lot to promise, but I can promise you that we are not promising in vain. So give us a call at 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that when we get shook, It's really very much about how we process that and in whose presence we process that actively, okay? So Satan will use whatever's shaking us to completely rattle us, to take us down, to make us doubt ourselves, to make us doubt God, to crumble within ourselves. God will take, if we bring it to him, the same action of shaking to shake the wheat and the chaff apart in our lives so that our wheat can just be laying on the floor to be used by him, to be pure, to be life-giving, and the chaff can be shaken away, because when you shake out wheat and chaff, it floats away on the wind.
We this can agricultural either... moment brought to you by Lord for Life.
As we pray for all our farmers in the Midwest today. But God can use our shakenness to bring life. Satan's going to use our shakenness to bring despair. And we really want to help you use whatever you're facing today to bring new life into your life, to bring new life into the lives of others, and to feel his grace rather than the despair that you
really,
might be
falling. That's actually really beautiful. I never really thought of it that way.
You're looking at me like, wow. That's
I didn't see
okay.
that coming. No, I'm just you say lots of beautiful things. It just kind of caught
sometimes,
me off guard. I stand in awe of your beautifulness.
Oh, you're adorable.
You so we're the
fact is that no matter how crummy, and we've all had those moments of real deep shaking, or just what we're doing inside of ourselves, if we're dealing with maybe working through our Lenten stuff and looking at that is shaking us up a little bit and causing us to doubt, causing us to feel stressed, maybe it's just living in this life in the place that God put you, but it's hard to live with that spouse or without that spouse you're longing for. Maybe it's hard to live with those kids or those friends or that extended family that put down some roots in you that's making it difficult for you to find peace in your life. Whatever it is, whether it's tiny and you just need to talk about it, or it's bigger and you really want to be able to get some new skills to work it through because you're kind of tired of being in that place, we're here for you today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling nervous, we're here for you so that you don't have to deal with the stress, the worry, and the anxiety. Or if you're dealing with somebody who's dealing with all of that, and it's overflowing onto you, if your kids, even your adult kids, are dealing with anxiety and stress and concerns, we're here to help you be a support to them.
And your spouse, a loved one, whoever it is, if you are personally feeling a little shook these days, or you love someone who's dealing with stress, worry, and anxiety and aren't sure how to support them, either way, we're here for you. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. You know, looking at this whole question of anxiety through the lens of the theology of the body, we're reminded that anxiety is not God's will for us. I mean, not only did Jesus point that out about 1,000 times in the Gospels, if we go back all the way to the beginning in the book of Genesis, we see that before the fall, even though Adam and Eve were completely vulnerable, they were completely confident in God's care and their love for one another. It was only after the fall, when they were separated from God, from each other, and from their best selves, that they felt exposed, ashamed, and anxious. In fact, what was the first thing that happened after the fall? Adam and Eve had a massive panic attack, right? They were hiding behind the bushes. Now, I want to be clear about something.
How often do we want to just hide somewhere?
I want to be clear about something, because people will sometimes hear this and say, you know, are you saying that I'm sinful for having anxiety?
Oh, because it was after the fall.
And I am not saying that at all. That is not my point. My point is that that anxiety is the result of living in this broken world and having to deal with things that we were not created to deal with. And it is not God's will that we would be anxious. If you're experiencing anxiety, it's not your fault. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It doesn't mean if you were just more faithful, you wouldn't have the anxiety. It just means that we are living in a world that we were not created to have to deal with. And when Adam and Eve were confronted by the bigness and the brokenness of the world and their own sense of smallness and insufficiency, separated from God, they hid behind those bushes. And we feel the same way so often, right? And the theology of the body reminds us that while worry and anxiety are common enough experiences in the modern world, the answer to those worries is to recenter ourselves in the loving arms of Abba, Daddy, the Father who loves us, cares for us, shelters us from those storms of life, especially when we feel alone, scared, and helpless. And that's why St. John Paul was always reminding us, be not afraid. yes, that the tasks before us are great, but God's love and providence are greater. And in the face of life's battles, let our battle cry be, Jesus, I trust in you. Now that sounds all great on paper, but sometimes it's a little harder to live that out in real life. So if you are facing situations in your life or relationships that are causing you stress, worry, or anxiety, or a loved one is dealing with all of that and you're not sure how to support them, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Well, I love that you said at the end of this explanation, let our battle cry be, Jesus, I trust in you. Because it's not just, Jesus, I trust in you, throw up your hands, don't do anything. We're called to do battle with everything here that would keep us from Christ. And it's only when we can use that as a battle cry. I trust in you, Lord, so I will do the work of battling back against the world, against Satan, against my fears, against everything that the enemy is planting in my head or in my life. I will do that battle because I love you, Lord, and I trust you. And then we go into it with him as our armor instead of just saying, Jesus, I trust in you, so go take care of everything. Oh, I would love that. Oh, I would love that. I am not a battle person. I don't like it. I don't even like the imagery. I'm going to be honest to you. Every time I would read the Chronicles of Narnia and those kids would have to go into battle, I would wince and hide behind a pillow. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. But it is what we need to do in order to fight for our inheritance as children of God.
And that inheritance is peace.
Is peace is God, is relationship with our loving, kind, merciful Lord. But we have to use, as you said, Greg, I think it's profound, use Jesus, I trust in you, as our battle cry. And if you're doing battle today, or afraid to do battle, or weary of the battle, we're here to help you through it, here to help you sharpen your sword and get some new weapons and do that battle in your life so that you can be more than a conqueror in Christ.
The number again, 877-573-7825. The name of the show is All Shook Up. If you're feeling shook these days, if there are certain situations in your life or relationships causing you stress, worry, or anxiety, let's talk through it and find some peace. And more importantly, solutions, so that you can leave those times behind. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for being the source of this peace that this world cannot give. But Lord, so often we are caught up in all the worries and stressors and anxieties of the day. We not only have to deal with the problems that we face, but we feel oppressed by those problems as they separate us from you, from the support of those who love us, and from even our best selves. And so, Lord, we come to you with all those things causing us to feel stressed, worried, or anxious. And we ask you both to help us find peace in the middle of the storm so that we can respond rather than react to those stressors. And we ask for the wisdom that would help us find solutions that glorify you. Help us to not just grasp for the things that enable us to hide out or run away or even just push the problem away, but give us the wisdom and courage to face those problems in ways that allow us to build your kingdom and bring your grace and glory to bear on the situation. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today, our show is titled All Shook Up. If you're feeling a little shook today by certain situations in your life or relationships that are causing you stress, worry, or anxiety, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Incidentally, we're going to be sharing a lot of tips on today's show taken directly from my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, published by Our Sunday Visitor. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you want to go a little deeper with some of the things we'll be sharing with you on the program today, I encourage you to check it out. I'm getting so much positive feedback from this book. Honestly, I think I'm getting more positive feedback about this book and how it's really affecting people than anything else I've ever written. And I'm just so humbled by how God's using this book to bring peace into people's hearts and lives.
Well, I think it's so amazing to me that everybody who has approached us on this book and talked to you about it, including a lovely, lovely woman that goes to our church, came over on Sunday to talk to you about it. Mm. And they all have the same words to say. And it's always, how did you know me? You know, you wrote this just for me. And I think it's shocking to people that we all share this underlying fear and worry and anxiety, and yet we don't often think that anybody else is going through it, but we are, because we're all in this fallen world, and we all can work with Christ and his grace to change a lot of that. And I think that's why the book is helping so many people. Hopefully we can carry that on today on More to Life.
And that name of the book again is Unworried: A Life Without Anxiety. Check it out at catholiccounselors.com. with that, we're going back to the phones to talk to our callers. Lisa, who's on deck?
Let's talk with Joan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi there, Joan. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. Okay, so the question I have is, how do I help my children, who are all very young, remain stable when their father, who has severe depression, is home? They seem to all be very empathetic and kind of pick up on the mood that he's letting off, even on days when he's trying really hard to just be present and be positive. They know, they kind of feel that he's not all there and that he's not all happy. And so they have a lot more meltdowns, they have a lot more tantrums, and they struggle throughout the day until they finally can get to sleep. So how can I help them to be able to have that stability for themselves?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Joan. I mean, one of the beautiful things about children is they are a barometer for what is happening inside the family home. So you're seeing the dynamic absolutely played out. They are saying something is not right. So, Joan, what kind of help is your husband and what kind of help is your whole family getting at this point?
My husband is receiving counseling, and we're hopeful that he'll be beginning a medication at the beginning of next month, but that is all we are receiving right now.
How are you able to participate in his therapy, you and the children?
I am able to a little bit. The children have not been able to.
How old are the kids?
All under six.
Okay, so a little young. So you've been participating then with your husband, how, regularly or just periodically?
Periodically. And then he'll inform me of what he's talked about that week, and we'll try and reflect.
So, a couple of things. Let me ask you this too. What have you said to the kids about their dad's health?
With the oldest one, we told him that dad is sick and that it feels like there's a rainstorm on him all the time, and he doesn't have an umbrella, and he doesn't know when the sun's coming out. And so, that dad's getting help to try and find that umbrella. And that we can pray for dad and we can keep playing with him.
That's
lovely. Yeah, I would make sure, because your child is so young, that you go over this again, but make sure he knows that it's not a physical illness, because when kids hear dad is sick, they often think dad's going to die. You know, dad has got some major disease. So let them know, you know, this is something he's battling, but it's not
terminal.
It's not something that's physically deteriorating him in some way. It's not contagious. Kids can kind of get really caught up in that because of shows they've watched and books they've read. So I would make that one qualification for the peace of mind of that child.
Let me ask you this too. When are there certain days when your husband maybe is not doing well, but the kids are behaving better? And what's the difference there?
If we've gotten a lot of outside playtime, which we haven't got a lot of in Indiana.
Sure. Okay. All right, so that makes a difference.
Then we all seem to do better.
All right, so here's what I'd like you to do. All right, I think it's what you know, Lisa pointed to the fact that kids' behavior is a great barometer of the mood in the household. And if, you know, very often kids will sort of decompensate a little bit as a way of trying to get mom and dad to kind of come in, right? It's I don't feel good because mom and dad aren't feeling great. And if I start kind of falling apart a little bit, maybe that'll get mom and dad to step in and give me the reassurance that I need that everything's going to be okay. It's a, you know, they don't have the language to do that. So they express it through their behavior. So a good tip here would be to make that more conscious. You know, in other words, to be able to start the day, for example, saying, you know, how's dad doing today? And what do we need to, and reassuring them, you know, that whatever they need, you guys will be able to be there for. And then just kind of talking about how do we need to manage the day? You know, maybe there are certain activities that you're going to have on days where dad's maybe not as engaged as he might be. Other days, whenever he's doing a little bit better, you're going to be able to do more of these kinds of things. But you're going to spend a little bit of time in the morning just kind of cuddling together with them and just talking about, you know, where things are at and, you know, reassuring them about what's coming and just walking through the day so that you can give them some of the language to talk about maybe the concerns that they might have. You're not going to get a lot from them, okay? But it's just a matter of going through it with them that allows them to express it openly as opposed to expressing it through their behavior. If you're able to deal with it directly in that way, I think it's going to really make a big difference in the way your kids are responding to it. Because by giving them a conscious and open way to process those concerns, you just kind of get it out of the way at the beginning of the day. And then if you start to see them kind of falling apart, recognize that what that means is I need a little bit more reassurance. And so bring them to you, cuddle a little bit, say, you know, are you feeling a little bit off today? Has it been a little bit hard with you seeing dad being a little down or whatever? Just acknowledge it openly, right? And then just reassure them with it. Maybe take some time to read a short story, to do something that helps them feel a little more stable and connected. But just, you know, see that behavior as a sign of saying, is everything going to be okay, mom? And respond to it in that way.
The other thing I would highly encourage you to do is don't treat depression like the flu. If your kids are showing you that something about dad's vibration is saying this, he's going down the hole here, he's not good, and it's setting off our alarms, invite your husband into more. Let him know, hey, the kids are really feeling what's going on. I need you to try to come out and play with us. Or let's all go to a movie. Yeah. Or let's take a walk. Bring him into this, holding him not in a mean way, but holding him sort of accountable for helping to stabilize what's going on with the kids. When we treat depression like the flu, it's exactly the wrong thing. It feeds it.
Well, I want to build on what she just said, because, you know, when you have the flu, you kind of feel like, well, if I just lie down a little bit, I'll feel better.
And it's true. It kind of revitalizes you after days of rest.
When you have depression, you go lie down, and a little bit, you've lost a little bit more of your life by the time you wake up.
And it feeds the depression. Oh, I'm so miserable. I lost the day. It's not good.
So, you know, if you give that, the best way to treat that depression is not to, you know, yell at him or put that pressure on him, but to say, you know, honey, we really need you to try to push a little bit harder to be part of this.
Come
as opposed to giving him that break and having everybody tiptoe around him. We got to go to break, but Joan, that'll get you started. If there's more that we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to give us a call here on More to Life. We'll be back with more of your calls when More to Life continues in just a moment.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at breakthroughmovie.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, all shook up. We're helping you deal with those situations that are making you shook, causing you to feel stressed, worried, or anxious. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We have about a minute or here, so we want to share a More to Life hack for overcoming anxiety before we return to your calls, and that's focus on the right target.
Resist the temptation to think that your anxiety is caused by all the things going on around you and happening to you. The overwhelming amount of work that has to be done, the weight of all your responsibilities, the problems that you face. Yes, these are serious, and they need to be taken seriously, but they can't cause anxiety in and of themselves.
You know, anxiety is created when we let external events distract us from the need to maintain our internal sense of well-being. If you're feeling anxious, it's not because you have too much to do or too many problems to face, believe it or not. It's because you're forgetting to take care of yourself in the face of those responsibilities and problems. Instead of focusing exclusively on all the stuff that needs to be addressed, ask yourself, what do I need to do? Take better care of myself while I handle those situations. How will I pace myself? How can I approach those challenges in a way that will allow me to stay reasonably cheerful and connected to the people I love? How can I face all those things I have to deal with in a way that allows me to be my best self, mentally, physically, and spiritually? The more you can focus on getting your internal life in order, the more you'll be able to face those problems without anxiety. More to Life will continue after the break.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine. But ultimately, what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's world seems devoid of any real meaning, which leaves teens especially floundering to find their own identities. These are important years in your child's emotional and psychological development. They need you more than ever, even if they don't show it. Here are two key aspects of your child's development to focus on during the teen years. One, help your teen find something to believe in. In a word, apathetic to religion, your child won't understand that his life matters to you and to God unless you give him those messages. The second way, help your child find an activity to be passionate about. In her teen's quest for independence, she needs a cause to call her own. Sports, clubs, and faith-based groups are all perfect ways to encourage your teen to develop a healthy separation from mom and dad. For more tips on how to get through the teen years, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about stress, worry, and anxiety in our show titled All Shook Up. If you're feeling shook about those situations in your life or relationships causing you stress, worry, or anxiety, we're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hey there, Lisa. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I just have a question about how can we stop the anxiety and our worry that that may be overtaken us when we have to walk away from certain people in our lives that have hurt us. I've had to walk away from a friendship that I had for almost, 30 years now. And also family members. There was abuse. There was rejection, mistreatment. But I worry about doing the wrong thing when I walk away from these people. I want to forgive, but do I necessarily have to have these people in my life?
That is such an important question, Lisa, and so many people have to ask it because, we're broken and we hurt each other. So it's a great, great question.
Yeah, there are two parts to this answer. The first part is absolutely not. You don't have to have these people in your life. There's no Christian obligation to put yourself in a position where you're going to be consistently abused. Now, people might say, well, what about Jesus? He allowed himself to be crucified. Well, Jesus didn't always embrace suffering, right? There were lots of times when the Pharisees, for example, tried to persecute him where he escaped from their midst or fought back, right? Why did he accept crucifixion? Well, because it was the mission that he had to take up from his Father to save us all. It was suffering that was part and parcel of the work that God asked him to do. When the suffering that was placed before him was not part of the mission that God the Father asked him to do, he avoided it. Okay, so God does not ask us to accept abuse from other people just for the sake of accepting abuse for other people. Sometimes, in the course of doing the right thing or making godly choices, people will criticize us, and Jesus does say, blessed are those who are persecuted for holiness' sake. But that's a very different situation than you got going on here, Lisa. You've made some good choices and set some good boundaries with people who were trying to tear you down and separate you from God and your best self, and it was appropriate to set those boundaries. In terms of the question about forgiveness, we talk about this all the time on the show, that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. And St. Augustine makes this point that forgiveness is simply surrendering your desire to hurt someone for having hurt you. On one hand, that's a lot less than we normally think it is, but it's a lot more than what we want to do a lot of times, right? So, to get to the place where you can say, I can't be around them, but I don't want bad things to happen to them. I'm not gonna badmouth them. I'm not gonna look for ways that I can hurt them for hurting me back. I'm gonna do my best to even pray for them. That you've forgiven them at that point. Okay, if you can get yourself to that place, and honestly, in a situation like yours, that's heroic enough.
Yeah, and I really would encourage you, Lisa, as you've walked away from all of this, that you'll find more healing and real forgiveness in yourself if you can say, Lord, heal them. Heal whatever has caused them to lead them into this behavior, to be abusive to me, to be unkind, to be unopen to your heart. Please heal them. If you can get out that one or two sentences every day, then you haven't really left them. You're working for their good, but you're putting yourself in a place of being able to heal yourself and be in a safe situation.
Exactly. It's very much like what Jesus said when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's to get yourself to that place where you can say they're not safe and I can't be around them, but I want your mercy for them. That's a hard place to get to, but that's what forgiveness is. Now, reconciliation, again, St. Augustine says, is essentially the restoration of right order. the peace, that the tranquility that results from right order. In order to get right order in a situation like this, you would have to have those people come to you and say, we are so sorry. We had no idea how badly we were hurting you, and we've taken these steps to make ourselves safe again. We completely understand if you don't trust that, but we want to work over time to help you trust that you can be back in our lives because we want a relationship with you. That's what reconciliation would take. And that's probably not going to happen. Because people who act this way are broken in very serious ways that are very difficult for them to heal. Now, if that were to happen, then there would be some obligation to try to work through that with them, not right away, but over time. But until such time, you can forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them. And that's, I think, what's going to be in this situation here. You can not desire bad things to happen to them or not wish to hurt them for having hurt you, but it's okay to not have them in your life. Even so. So there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, the last thing I'm going to say before I let you go, when you're treated like this by people who are supposed to love you, your parents, your siblings, you can grow up thinking that it's your fault. And that's what's called an anxious attachment style. You get to a place where you start believing that even when you know intellectually you're not responsible for the bad treatment you're receiving, You kind of feel like, well, if I could just say these right things or do those things or twist myself into that knot, then I could get these people to love me. And sometimes we replicate that in our adult relationships with other people, too. So when you have that kind of attachment style, it's hard to set these sorts of boundaries and feel good about it, because the entire time there's this old programming going on in the back of your head saying, but it was your fault. but you're supposed to fix this. And so working with a good professional, if you find yourself in that situation, working with a good, faithful counseling professional to help you heal that anxious attachment style can help you more confidently set those boundaries and rest in peace for having set them. So reflect on everything that we're saying here, okay? Reflect on the idea of the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, what that all really means. Reflect a little bit on what we shared with you about the appropriateness of setting boundaries in the face of suffering in light of Jesus' example. And also, see how that alleviates this guilt and anxiety you're having. If you find that as you're praying about it and reflecting on what we're saying here, a couple of weeks go by and you're still feeling that sort of guilt and anxiety, then that probably reveals that you have at least a little bit of an anxious attachment style where you're taking on more responsibility for this than you need to. And again, working with a good, faithful professional can begin to help heal that. There's a book by Tim Clinton called Attachments, which I think could be really helpful for you, and our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Check out the chapters on how relationships can both be a contributor to anxiety and how we can work in our relationships to get more relief from anxiety as well. So we look at anxiety from the perspective of psychological, emotional, physical, spiritual, and relational perspectives. So check out those chapters on relationship, because I think it'll really help you sort that out. Lisa, thanks so much for the call, and we will certainly add you to our More to Life prayer list if there's anything else we can do to support you in your healing journey here. Don't hesitate to give us a call. 877-573-7825 is the number. We're talking about stress, worry, and anxiety on our show today, titled All Shook Up. If you're feeling shook about something, give us a call. We'll help you sort through it.
Let's talk now with Laura, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hey there, Laura. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. The last caller your discussion with the last caller kind of answered a lot of my questions. But I'm dealing with a family relationship, too, and it was a long friendship that I had with a family member. We were very close, but a couple of, months ago, we just kind of had a fallout and things were said, and I'm like, oh. But anyway, my question is, I feel like I've forgiven mm-hmm. them, and I feel like, I pray for them every day, and I do the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy for them and, mm-hmm. and stuff, but is it necessary for me to tell them that I have forgiven them? Because I feel like if I do that, the response is going to be, well, that's not what I did. And I'm thinking, okay, it's just going to start the whole thing again mm-hmm. and stuff. So is that part necessary in the whole?
So what you're saying is they're not really asking for your forgiveness. So should you extend it to them directly anyway?
Right. I mean, yeah,
probably
just to have
not
that peace within my soul. is to, I think I have, but then that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, no, it sounds like you have forgiven him. Again, the idea of forgiveness is that when we surrender our desire for revenge, when we don't want to hurt the other person for having hurt us, and we're doing what we can to work for their good in spite of that, I mean, and you're doing all of that. The only question I would have for you is, I think it's important to take to prayer, how safe is it to be around them? Can you be around them in certain contexts at least, or even phone conversations where you don't have to spend the rest of your day putting yourself back together or that sort of thing? Is it possible to have any sort of a relationship with them? Well, let's start there. I mean, do you think that you would have interactions with them moving forward? And what would it look like if you focused on just...
I think it's a family member, so I think life circumstances, it's my brother-in-law, so... Okay. I'm going to be in his company, but I think, I would avoid that because right now I just don't think it would be good for either one of us, I don't think. And I'm okay with that, It's not all like it's going to be a significant part of my family member. We have a first communion celebration coming up with my grandson who we're raising because our daughter passed away suddenly a couple of years ago, so we're raising him now. And so I struggled with that, but it's like, we'll just invite him, and if he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, he doesn't, And
okay, good for you.
We'll be busy enough that I think it's really not going to matter, and it's all about Liam and our grandson's sacrament and, whatever else happens. It's totally, good. I'm leaving it totally up to God. So.
Okay.
The only thing that I would add to that, Laura, and I think you're handling it just fine, okay, really just fine. But I would ask God to give you the grace to, if he decides to come to your celebration, to treat him with genuine grace and mercy. You don't have to make a thing out of it. But to give you the grace to, let's be honest here, not contort your face into a frozen smile, not have your back so ramrod straight that it's obvious you're still perturbed or
not
you're
just
perturbed
ignore him,
in some way. Not to just turn away and, not give him a hug, but to really have the grace to say, Lord, I'm trying to forgive, and this is bringing this up is not something I think that will genuinely benefit our family. So help me to treat him with your love. Help me to treat him with your patience and mercy. Not that you have to buy into any of the drama that's going on, but that you can really give it to Christ and be Christ in some way to him, just through your actions and your posture and your facial expression and all of that.
Right, because I do think that based on what you described, you have forgiven him. But I think, what Lisa's saying, I think, is a good point. When we look at what kind of boundaries to set with people, there are some folks who are too obtuse to know they've hurt us in the first place and too proud to admit it even after we point it out.
And I think that's what you're dealing with.
Exactly. And so, you've forgiven him, but you don't have to tell him that necessarily. If he wouldn't take that, well, it would just make it worse. But by doing what Lisa's suggesting, what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to maintain the level of relationship that would be safe, but you're not putting yourself in a position of being treated that way again. And that's okay.
And you're also not being a stumbling block to him where he walks away and says, well, look how they treat me when I go to that house. I just get the cold shoulder. I get that glare. And then the whole thing builds up in terms of animosity towards one another. So pray about your ability to do that. It's very difficult to do it all by yourself. You can only do it with the Holy Spirit in a situation like this. So ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up when you have to deal with him.
We talk more about both of these issues in our books, Unworried, Life Without Anxiety, and the Relationship chapters. But we also talk about it in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, where we walk through charitable ways to set effective boundaries that both insulate us from the drama, but also leave the doors open for possible healing in the future. So that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. With that, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about those situations that are causing stress, worry, and anxiety in your life and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue in just a moment.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years.
Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
More to life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled All Shook Up, as we talk about stress, worry, and anxiety in your life. Are there certain situations in your life or relationships that are causing you to feel shook and experience that stress, worry, or anxiety? We are here to help both find peace in the moment and solutions for those problems that are plaguing you. 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, Greg, I know that one group of people who get shook pretty much on the daily or on the hourly or on the minutely is moms. We all, you know, you get up in the morning, you got your plan, and the kids and their lives and their emotions and their behavior throws a million things at you, whether that's your tiny kids or your 80-year-old kids. You're a mom forever. And so I created a place for moms to find a little encouragement and gain their confidence back every day. It's momfidence.org. It's momfidence official on Instagram. And please join me over there. You'll get podcasts of encouragement, blog posts so you can pick from either one, whichever serves your needs better, daily Instagrams that are just going to like fill you up a little bit and help you to get your confidence and your strength back during the day. And also a little community over there where we share ideas. Like, I am still very grateful. A lot of moms sent in their Lenten meal ideas. That was a real blessing for a lot of us. So if you're a mom, no matter what age or stage you're at, come on over to momfidence.org. I'm not selling anything over there. I'm not pushing any product. It's just there for all of us moms to get together and feel a little bit better during the day.
Check it out, momfidence.org, place to have a more peaceful momming life. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about stress, worry, and anxiety on our show today titled All Shook Up. If you or a loved one are dealing with stress, worry, or anxiety and you're not sure what to do about it, give us a call. We'll help you through. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we were just about to go to a call from Martin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. And just as we were about to go to his call dropped. So if Martin, if your cell can reconnect, great, join us. But his question is something that you and I are hearing from everyone. And I think it bears taking,
yeah,
even though his voice is not live. So I'm going to just sum up what he was calling about. He said he's really involved in his parish and several ministries, and he's really being shaken by how the church is handling the abuse crisis in the church. And he wants to know that because he's faithful and he loves his church, how can he be a good witness to people who are asking about this? And don't we all receive a lot of this? How can you be Catholic? Or I'm Catholic. We had this experience. We were at a theater gala a couple of weeks ago, and the lovely woman who was sitting next to us was a lifelong Catholic. Her grandchild is in our, you know, CCD classes, and her son is saying, should I even keep my child in CCD classes? She didn't know how to handle it. Everyone's sort of saying, how do I deal with other people on this, never mind what's going on in my heart, because I'm really shaken.
You know, I think that actually you, Lisa, had a really important insight about this, and I think that's been a starting point for me in my own way of processing through this. And there are lots of other things we could say about it, but I think this is just maybe the most important thing to leave Martin with. You got to ask yourself, how do we even know these things are wrong? We know they're wrong because our church teaches us that they're wrong. Now, the church has not lived up to its teachings because we're all broken, fallen, sinful people, and even the church is not susceptible from brokenness and sinfulness and all the rest. But the fact of the matter is, if you look through history, okay, look at pagan times, the kind of behavior that we're all complaining about in the church was accepted and normal.
It was just the way people lived.
The only reason that we know that this is wrong and that we should rail against it is because Christianity, and Catholicism in particular, with its emphasis on sexual morality...
The emphasis on the dignity of the human person, and especially human people who are living in more innocence, such as children, or are vulnerable, such as women in many situations, or anyone who's in a student... The church is what taught us to treat one another with dignity.
And it's always painful when the church doesn't live up to its own teachings, but nevertheless, the teachings are true. And so, you know, being able to hold on to that and continue to pray that the whole church would be faithful to its own teachings and its own mission is really the only response that we can make.
But we can honestly say, I'm in the church because the church has been the light to the world that goes against such darkness. I'm holding on to that, and I'm going to do everything I can as a person to help the church get back to that original teaching. I'm holding fast in my hope of Christ, the Eucharist, and the 2,000 years of teaching in our church.
And by making sure that I'm living faithfully
Amen
the sexual teachings of the church, because I can't ask others to be responsible for what I'm not willing to stand up for in my own life.
Amen to that.
Thanks for the question, Martin.
Absolutely. With that, let's go to Rose, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to More to Life. Just a couple of minutes, but your call is important, so we wanted to make sure we got to you. What's going on?
Okay, thank you. Hi. Yes. So very quickly, my husband, we've been married for 15 years, and for the second time in our marriage, found out he was being unfaithful, and in not in an affair, but just going out and when he was out of town and doing immoral things, basically having relationships with just random women. And the first time this happened several years ago, we went through counseling, confession, everything seemed to be great.
And these are sexual relationships, Rose? Excuse me?
Yes. And so everything seemed to be, after our counseling, after everything, he went through a full humility. He, you know, everything with counseling and everything seemed to be so much better. Our relationship was stronger. Fast forward, that was 10 years ago, and life's gotten stressful. We have two children who are both on the autism spectrum, high functioning, but they both require a lot of things. It's you know, somewhat stressful, and our relationship has been hurt in the process just in terms of communication and resentfulness. And then I found out about 6 months ago that he was doing it again. After I confronted him, he confessed. Same thing happened, the humility, he went to confession.
Okay, but just because I've only got 2 minutes, I want to throw this out to you. You've done some really good work on the marriage piece of this, but I think the piece that's probably missing is that most of the time, infidelity has very little to do with the marriage. It's got more to do with the person who cheats, their inability to express emotions appropriately, express their needs appropriately, and communicate effectively about getting kind of solving those problems. So they end up stuffing things and not being able to be open with you, and then they self-medicate through sex and relationships. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
He's very insecure.
And that's the piece that needs to be addressed then, that wasn't addressed the first time. You did a lot of good work with the marriage and counseling, and I'm sorry you're having to go through this again. But I think that if you're going to make this work for the long haul, you're going to need to go back into some professional marriage counseling, marriage-friendly counseling. But in addition to shoring up the relationship, he's going to need to take some responsibility for doing the personal work on his ability to communicate his emotions, to communicate his needs, to come to you and say, look, Rose, I'm really struggling with this in my life or having a hard time with that. had in my life instead of stuffing it and then self-medicating through these relationships. Because if he doesn't learn to do that, then this is going to be a pattern that continues to haunt you during stressful times in your marriage, and nobody wants that. So I'm so sorry that you're having to face this again. You've done all the right things up to this point, and I think that's going to serve you well moving forward. But this last piece really does need to be addressed. And a lot of people miss that because they think that as soon as the relationship gets stronger, then it won't make sense, that we should be fine now, right? But again, infidelity has very little to do with the marriage, because lots of people have marital problems, but they don't cheat. What's the difference? Well, the people who cheat tend to have marital problems and don't know how to express their emotions or get their needs met or be honest with their spouse about their internal struggles, because they don't either have the words or the whatever, and then they have to self-medicate in some way, and that's where this comes out. So deal with that piece of it, and I think you'll be good to go. Rose, I'm sorry to have to rush you off, but if there's more we can do to support you through that healing process, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. That goes for you listeners as well. If you're dealing with something in your life causing you stress, worry, or anxiety, check out all the resources we mentioned on the program today, including Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor over the phone to transform your life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.